Vantage Point, an in-depth discussion of people, places, and points of view, with special emphasis on arts and education. Your host for Vantage Point is David Unum, Chairman of the Department of Speech and Performing Arts, Northeastern Illinois University.
Good morning, and welcome to Vantage Point, a coming together of people and points of view. The opinions expressed in this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the position of Northeastern Illinois University, nor its governing board. And might I say, in kind of an editorial comment, the first thing this morning for this show, the disclaimer which I just read might have some real reason for it, because we're going to be looking at a fairly controversial issue today on Vantage Point. Last summer, a report appeared sponsored by Chicago Media Action, a report entitled Chicago Tonight, Elites, Affluence, and Advertising. And what it really was is a study statistically based dealing with Channel 11, WTTW, might I say, our neighbor here at Northeastern Illinois University, Chicago's main public broadcasting affiliate, TTW. And that in a period in covering September 2003, and then another period covering about 10 episodes of the premiere show at TTW, Chicago Tonight, covering the period between January 27 and February 10, 2004, looking at all of these shows, the researchers in this report started to do, and basically I guess you would call it a profile of the guests appearing on the shows, what their backgrounds were, the kinds of topics that were being dealt with, and as a larger focus to the study, going back to the issue which began in 1967 when the public broadcasting system was formed as a forum for controversy and debate. And I believe, quoting from that system inaugural in 1967, a responsive expression of diversity and excellence that addresses the needs of unserved and underserved audiences, particularly children and minorities. Now, over the years since 1967, PBS has indeed very well served decades of children. I mean, with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, with Sesame Street, these have become icons in the broadcast industry. However, the authors of this report looked a little bit more critically at the issue of whether or not public broadcasting, and in specific terms, WTTW, in its show Chicago Tonight, was really following through with what the authors of the report believed to be the intent of the formation of the public broadcasting system. This morning on Vantage Point, we have as a guest one of the authors of this study. As a matter of fact, he was the study supervisor and basically designed the research format for the conduct of the study, Dr. Stephen Masick, who is from the Speech Communication Department at North Central College. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's good to have you here. Now, as I said before we started the show this morning, I'm probably going to be raising a few questions, not so much necessarily in defense of WTTW and the program Chicago Tonight, but really as clarification. But before we get to that, Steve, okay. I know this is going to be a challenge, but can you give us a kind of thumbnail summary of the essence of the report, Chicago Tonight, Elites, Affluence, and Advertising?
Certainly. I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
Our study, as you pointed out, was designed to evaluate how well WTTW's signature news and public affairs show, Chicago Tonight, is serving the public interest. And in particular, we were looking at how well they were serving those unserved and underserved audiences, minorities and the working class, people of Chicago who live in neighborhoods that don't routinely get coverage on television news.
In effect,
news.
The people who are not thought of as being part of, quote, the establishment.
Right,
unquote.
People who are not part of the establishment. How well WTTW's signature news and public affairs show serving those people. And what we did was we looked at 6 weeks' worth of Chicago Tonight episodes, 30 programs in all, spanning all of September of 2003 and January and February of 2004. And first of all, we looked at the racial, gender, and occupational makeup of the show's on-camera news sources and guests.
Mm-hmm.
We also looked at the mix of stories that were covered.
So and both guests on the one hand, the people we see in front of us, the story itself.
And the sources, right. We looked at the guests and sources. Essentially, our criteria were whoever appears speaking on camera, we would count as a guest or a source. And we tried to find out what the racial, gender, and occupational makeup was of those people. And then we also looked at the types of stories that were being carried on any given show. We tried to look for patterns of bias in the selection and framing and content of the news stories that were covered. And what we found, distressingly, was that Chicago Tonight is not that different from your average local television news show, that they, like local commercial TV news, Chicago Tonight tends to privilege the voices of the powerful and the affluent. Let's take, for example, the racial composition of their guest list. White guests and news sources were vastly overrepresented on the show, and minority perspectives were really underrepresented.
Excuse me, Steve, can I just ask a question?
Sure.
You know, you're making comparisons percentage terms. That
right.
X percent of the guest sources were white males,
right.
Let's say. Now, when you say vastly overrepresented, are you making a comparison between, therefore, that number or percentage and the composition of the population?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
We're comparing that number to their proportion in the population. So, for example, 79%, almost 80% of all the guests over the 6 weeks that we looked at were white. But if you look at the racial composition of the population of the Chicago metropolitan area, it's only 57% roughly white. Similarly, we found that only 12% of the guests were African American and only 3% of the guests were Latino. And then if you look at the population of the Chicago metropolitan area, you'll find that 19% of the people who live in this area are African American and fully 17% of the population are Latino. So there's a real disproportion there.
Okay.
Whites are vastly overrepresented as news sources and as guests on the show compared to their share of the population.
Okay. And now before we go on to the next part of,
right.
of your presentation, which you know has to do now with the types of shows,
right.
I think we have to make it quite clear to our listeners that we're talking only about the news function of PBS
right.
and specifically this one.
The focus here is on WTTW, Chicago Tonight. And the reason why we focus on Chicago Tonight is that that – typically is what, for any television station, is the way in which they discharge their obligation to serve the public interest, convenience, and necessity.
In effect, does the management of TTW self-identify Chicago Tonight as being their premier outlet?
Absolutely. In fact, sort of the background to this is that there was a group that was trying to get more coverage of the debate leading up to the Iraq War and more anti-war voices. We wanted to see more anti-war voices represented in the debate leading up to the invasion of Iraq, who met with representatives of WTTW and asked them to hold a televised town hall meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, we don't need to do that. And they were asked why, and they said, because our forum for controversy and debate and our forum for these kinds of discussions is Chicago Tonight. And they were also asked, is there any way that you could add a show that had an African-American host
mm-hmm.
that dealt with news and stories of interest to the African-American community, who, after all, make up such a significant proportion of the Chicago population and the population of the Chicago metropolitan area. And they said, no, we discharge that responsibility. Our responsibility to serve the public interest through Chicago Tonight. So
they self-identified this as
where we are doing what that Television Broadcast Public Broadcasting Act 67 asked us to do, which
okay.
is to serve underserved audiences and to provide a forum for debate and controversy. And so that's one of the reasons why we decided to focus on TTW's Chicago Tonight.
Now, there is an accusation which is often made when people take issue with a report or the structure of a report or the design of the report or even the statistical usages, right. And that is the cherry picking.
Right.
That you just picked out certain shows so as to create the profile
and
you wanted to.
And that's certainly a complaint that we heard from Dan Schmidt of WTTW about our report. And my response to that is that the design of our report and the kind of data that we gather are fairly typical for this kind of quantitative content analysis of television news programming. We taped an entire month. We covered one entire solid month's worth of programming. September, we had no way of knowing what stories were going to come up during that month.
And you fed all of the data from that coverage into the report?
All of that data is in the report. And then as a control to make sure we weren't picking an anomalous month,
right,
a month
right.
that had an abnormal mix of stories, we also included 2 weeks of Chicago Tonight programs from the end of January and the beginning of February 2004. That was just as a control to make sure that we hadn't picked an anomalous month in September. And the patterns that we found in September really held up in January and February of 2004. So we were satisfied that this was not a case of cherry picking. These were not unrepresentative programs. I think they're fairly standard.
So you found that your control period, January 27th through February 10th, 2004, kind of validated
It validated earlier. Everything that we had found.
But that material is that data is also fed into the report.
That data is also fed into
okay,
the report.
Okay, what else did you discover about the content? Now, okay, there was you would call it a disproportionate representation in terms of figures.
Could I say a little bit more about what we found out about the guest list?
Sure.
Because I think that it's revealing. I mean, we didn't just find that white voices were overrepresented on Chicago Tonight. We also found, for example, that that male voices were disproportionately represented on Chicago Tonight. I mean, women constitute 51% of the population in the Chicago metropolitan area, and yet men were three times as likely to appear as guests on Chicago Tonight during our study period. And male guests completely dominated the guest lists on stories that were what I would call hard news stories, stories about politics and stories about economics and stories about elections. Those guests were almost entirely male. The same is true of occupation.
Mm-hmm.
Elites, what we call in the report elites, representatives of government, of the corporate world, of academia, and of the professions, law and medicine, constituted 73% of all sources. By contrast, representatives of organized labor, of labor unions, were 0.5% of all sources. And that's even including on stories about, the economy.
Right. Let me throw in an observation, yeah. Stephen. I'm sure it's not going to be a new one to you.
Right.
Suppose somebody were to observe, Dr. Masick, all right, you found this overrepresentation, you're calling it, of
right.
white males and members of the establishment.
Right. Okay? Absolutely.
What if somebody raises the observation, but those are the people who are the movers and shakers. Those are the people who are involved in issues of politics and issues of social policy. And so, yes, they're going to be.
They are certainly, I mean, I would grant you that they're certainly the decision makers.
Right.
Oftentimes, they're the decision makers. But they're not the only stakeholders, and they're not the only people who are active and organizing on issues. Right. So, for example, you saw that on economic issues, representatives of corporations, representatives of the professional media were, by and large, over 90% of the guests were representatives of either the owners of businesses or the corporate management
mm-hmm.
or members of the professional media. Only 4.5%, maybe roughly 5% of the sources were representatives of labor unions, and yet people who are working people constitute the vast majority of the population.
Right.
They have a real stake in decisions that are made about economic policy. Their points of view ought to be represented, and more importantly, those representatives of corporate America, they have many other channels where they have an outlet for their point of view.
I mean, right.
If you look at the content of economic reporting on any commercial television station or commercial radio station, you'll find that it's dominated by stock analysts and representatives and CEOs and representatives of corporate America. Why not on the one television, one public television station in Chicago that carries, that has its own news show, why not give a showcase the views of people whose perspectives are excluded and marginalized, mm-hmm. and yet who have a real stake in these in economic policy?
It's the stakeholder exclusion,
right,
that you and your research colleagues are really focusing on.
That was is one thing that we were focusing on. We right. focused on a lot of different things, but that's one thing that was particularly striking to us, is that, you know, this is public television. It's supposed to be representing viewpoints that don't often get aired on television. It's supposed to be an outlet for controversy and debate, and yet the views of the vast working majority are not being represented.
Isn't it also a truism, Steve, in your field, particularly the field of communication and communication studies,
right.
that if you talk about research design, isn't a good study supposed to have at least a representation, even proportionately balanced, of the population
right,
that you're studying?
Right, yeah, absolutely. That's the principle of sampling.
Right, and so what you're saying is that the sampling which it appears the sampling which TTW with Chicago Tonight was doing
– it's a very biased
skewed.
Sample. Okay. It's a skewed sample.
Now, what about the content of the shows, getting back to the idea of
right.
the news responsibility?
The news, right. Yeah, getting back to the content. I mean, one of the things, the interesting thing that we found was – and we weren't sure what we were going to find about this. We were pretty confident that we were going to – because we're all viewers of Chicago
right.
Tonight. We were pretty confident we were going to find a slant towards – the establishment
right.
In the makeup of the guest list. But we weren't sure what we were going to find as far as the mix of stories. And we did an analysis of the mix of stories, and what we found is it wasn't that different, really, from the mix of stories you'd find on WGN's news or any local TV news show.
Even including the fact that Chicago Tonight, in its format, does, thank God, at least cover issues
right.
in depth.
Right. Oh, yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Not the soundbite approach, true of much of
television. And let me say, in the study, we actually acknowledge that one of the great things and one of the strengths of Chicago Tonight is that it doesn't simply require its guests to speak in five-second soundbites.
Right.
There needs to be shows like Chicago Tonight on television that can engage in thoughtful discussion and debate. There was one segment that I happened to see, since I also coded some of the tapes for this study, that had a 20-minute long discussion about the proposed Trump Tower downtown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You never, if you turn to any
Two
other,
minutes would have been a long
if
one
you'll
on
ever,
commercial
if you
TV.
Turn to another, yeah, local TV news show, you'll never find a 20-minute long discussion about anything.
Right.
Even the presidential election campaign, you won't have a 20-minute long discussion. So that's valuable, and that's not something we were criticizing. That's something we praised about Chicago Tonight. What we found was that, though, that like local commercial TV news, Chicago Tonight covers an awful lot of sports, entertainment, human interest stories and lifestyle news. And according to our count, 55% of the stories carried on WTTW during our study period were about sports, entertainment, lifestyles, or human interests.
So less than 50% of the total content coverage had to do with what you might call hard news.
Less than 50% had to do with what we would call hard news. In fact, 11% of the stories were about local politics, 5.8% were about national politics, only 4.5% were actually about Illinois politics. There were about 7% of the stories were about the business or economy, so that a total of only 28% of the stories were really what you would classify as the strictest definition of the word hard news.
Now, just out of curiosity, how did you and your research, your fellow researchers, define what constitutes hard news?
Well, it's a tricky thing, and I grant you that there's some subjective judgment mm-hmm. that enters in here. What we classified as hard news was anything having to do with politics, a public issue, social policy, or the economy. That
okay.
might be – some people would consider that a restrictive definition of hard news. But I would submit that that's – if you talk to most journalists, what they would identify as as hard news.
Now, you did not actually do, of course, a content comparison nor a guest or source comparison with the commercial outlets
right.
2,
no,
5,
we
7,
didn't.
9, and 32.
No. We didn't.
But you're accounting on a kind of implicit agreement and
right.
understanding that
right.
there's going to be a considerable gap between the commercial approach and what should
and,
be the PBS
and,
approach.
And we didn't perceive, and granted, we did not do a systematic study of the content of local commercial TV news broadcasts, but other people have. For
mm-hmm.
example, Rocky Mountain Media Watch has famously done, or they did in the 90s, a number of studies of the content of local TV news around the country. And they and what they found really mashed with what we found in Chicago Tonight. That is to say, most local TV news covers a lot of sports and a lot of human interest and entertainment stories and not a lot of hard news. Hard news gets scanted. Now, there was one big difference, however, between WTTW, Chicago Tonight, and local TV news in general, and I would say it's probably true of local TV news in Chicago. And that big difference is that we found that that Chicago Tonight did not really cover a lot of crime stories. Thank God. You didn't find a lot of lurid crime coverage. They seem to have broken with the if it bleeds, it leads mentality that seems to dominate so many television stations around mm-hmm. the country. And we also singled that out for praise in the study because that was a significant difference in our view.
Okay, so Chicago Tonight avoids the lurid approach.
They avoid the lurid approach.
They cover things in depth.
Right.
But from the point of view of you and your co-authors, they do not fully come up to what PBS probably should be doing in terms either of diversity of guests or diversity of topics.
And they're not really serving all of Chicago. For us, that's the bottom line. They're mm-hmm. not serving the entire Chicago community. They're not serving the west and the south side of the city. They're not sure. The fact that only 3% of their guests were Latino, and there were, as far as I could tell in the studies from the 6 weeks worth of episodes that we did, there were virtually no stories that were about, say, Humboldt Park
mm-hmm.
or the South Side of Chicago.
Even though you mentioned Hispanic yeah. or Latino, the Hispanic community increasingly has its own television
right.
programs,
absolutely.
Its own media outlets, and in effect they're sort of taking up the slack themselves.
They may be, but I think there's also a value in a general audience being exposed to news about the Latino community.
Right.
Right?
Now,
I mean,
what
I
about,
think there's certainly a value in
okay.
that.
Okay. What about the observation, which is again tends often to be true of commercial television? Well, look, folks, we have to find and keep an audience. We're basing what we're doing on the feeling we have and the information and the designations we have from our listeners or our viewers in this case. And so what you're really criticizing is not so much us but expectations of viewers.
Well, I think there is certainly a bit of truth in that because – we recognize, and we acknowledge this in the study, that in some ways WTTW's hands are tied. Because of the way that public television in this country is funded, every public broadcaster faces a structural problem with funding. That
right.
is to say that when the public broadcasting system was set up in this country, it was not adequately funded. They did not set up anything like a trust fund.
As with the BBC
United Kingdom. As with the BBC, which, you know, in the case of the BBC, that trust fund is funded through an independent tax on television sets, so that anytime someone buys a television set, they pay a tax. That money goes into a specially dedicated fund, which goes to fund the BBC. Their appropriation, the BBC's annual budget appropriation is decided, I think, every 10 years. So they have a certain degree of independence from political pressure. Here in the United States, of course, Congress is free to debate funding for PBS every 2 years.
And that
creates a situation in which public television and public broadcasters are, I think, overly politically cautious because they don't want to offend anybody in power. And it also creates a situation in which there's not enough money for them to do quality programming.
In effect, they were put into the same kind of policy or legislative trap, if you will, as Amtrak.
Absolutely. I think that's an excellent analogy.
Being underfunded, not perhaps being what a national service should be. Is there a way in which the general public can get access to the report or even the executive summary?
Absolutely. If they go to www.chicagomediaaction.org, you can download the entire study there. You can download the executive summary. We also have some examples of the news coverage of the study. It's been written up in a couple of newspapers. There's also been a magazine article generated from the study that appeared in Extra, which is the Magazine of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. All of that material is available online at chicagomediaaction.org.
Okay, that's the site, folks, www.chicagomediaaction.org. We've been talking with one of the co-authors and the supervisor of that report, Chicago Tonight, Elites, Affluence, and Advertising, Dr. Steve Masick from the Speech Communication Department at North Central College. We've got a couple of minutes left, Steve, and I think you've already begun to give the answer to this question. But the ultimate question is, what would have to happen to make a difference, not only perhaps in TTW programming for Chicago Tonight, but just broadly speaking about the whole PBS system?
Well, I think that's an excellent question. And I think the reason why you see Chicago Tonight, you know, sort of catering to the needs of white affluent viewers and ignoring the needs of other sorts of viewers is because they really need to do that to survive economically. Since they're not getting, since I think roughly only 15% of the budget of any public television station is paid for out of federal money, they have to get that money from somewhere. And the way they do it, as anybody who watches public television knows, is through these, you know, twice or three times a year telethons, or what I like to call the begathons.
The begathons, right.
Where they go on the air and they ask people, viewers like you, to pledge money. And when you're doing that, you have to speak to people who have the money to pledge. And not everyone has the money to spend $120 to become a member of public television. So that means they have to target their programming, they have to cater their programming to affluent, you know, fairly wealthy individuals who can afford to spend that kind of money to support television programming
Are you giving us, Steve, a kind of more recent version of the old Pogo epithet, we've met the enemy and they
and
is
the
us?
The enemy is us, right? In some ways. So we've got to break them of that dependency on those affluent audiences, right, for support. And the way to do that is to set up some kind of trust fund. And there are lots of different ideas about how you might fund such a trust fund. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of a tax on broadcast advertising. Advertising is not taxed right now. Mm-hmm. You could have a very minimal tax on broadcast advertising. It would generate a lot of money to fund public television programming. And that would give it a certain degree of independence, both from Congress and from the need to always cater to affluent audiences.
And yet periodically, every 5 years or better yet, every 10 years,
you could have
kind
a review and a debate in Congress and appropriation. That, to me, makes sense as a way to go about funding public broadcasting. I think another thing that needs to happen is you need to democratize the governance of public television, both locally and nationally. If you look at the makeup of the board of trustees of WTTW, it's like a who's who of the corporate 500 companies.
Right. Well, of course,
in Chicago.
In that sense, TTW is like any part of the cultural establishment. You go to the boards, say, of the Lyric Opera. You go to the boards of the Chicago Symphony. It's part of that tradition. So
right.
You're really talking about a two-way approach, one being the funding and the second being governance.
The board. And I think, you know, we have called for democratic elections for the board, you know, democratically elected board.
Well, folks, that's the thing to keep in mind. And that, I want to thank our guest this morning on Vantage Point, Dr. Steve Masick from the Speech Communication Department at North Central College and co-author and supervisor of the report, Chicago Tonight, Elites, Affluences, and Advertising. Thanks much for being with us, Steve.
Oh, thanks so much, Dave. It was a pleasure.
Great to have you here.
Yeah, thank you.
Vantage Point is produced by David Unum and the Department of Speech and Performing Arts at Northeastern Illinois University, with support from the Office of Development and Public Affairs. The director is Ron Syatt. The engineer is Rick Martin. Our music was written by James Lucas. This has been a presentation of the WTMX Public Affairs Department.